MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with John Cherry from Cherry Flava. John, appreciate the time today. Last week, I went through sort of highlights of Ellie's, although truthfully, a lot of lowlights there as well, but very much just from a listing perspective. You've recently written a piece around it, and you make a really great point that they really had so many sort of leads in a sense. And I'm thinking satellite dishes, I'm thinking the Eskom deal to replace globes, I'm thinking digital set-top boxes, and yet they just kept on blowing it in a sense.
Thanks, Simon. Yeah, so I think that's exactly it. My point that I was trying to make in the Daily Maverick piece was that if you look at the history of Ellie's, it's very clear that they were very good deal makers. Yeah. I think they had a great deal with DStv to provide those set-top boxes. Theoretically, it was a good deal with government where they were going to supply those other digital DTT, those boxes that were meant to do that digital transformation. So that was potentially a good deal as well. And as you say, I think with Eskom, they also did a great thing there where they replaced old incandescent bulbs with LED bulbs when load shedding first arrived. So I think that was back in 2012. My thinking is, though, that they created so much opportunity, but they just never followed through with any kind of marketing push. And this really is the point, is that a deal is one thing. A deal will always offer you volume in that opportunity. But marketers and companies that are focused on good marketing, they take that opportunity and they start to extract value from it by really building great brands where they can command higher margins. And it's very, very clear that Ellie's were just terrible at doing that.
That was it. It was kind of by the end, I don't know, last couple of years, it's kind of been a sense of, you know what, they sell plugs. And truthfully, plugs are completely generic. They never pushed it. They never took that development of that brand, which is so hugely important because I think beyond sort of their financial markets, I don't think many folks have comprehension of Ellie's.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I remember going into a builder's warehouse and you would see Ellie's products, but they would kind of be on some random shelf at the back somewhere. And exactly as you said, they kind of competed with all sorts of other nondescript brands in really like a commodity play. And the example for me of somebody who did something differently is Elon Musk and Tesla. What they did was that they took something which was essentially a battery inverter and they turned that into a brand, the Powerwall. And Elon Musk, kind of taking the playbook directly from Steve Jobs, did one of those presentations in front of an adoring crowd. And he launched a battery. But it had a cool name and it had a cool marketing strategy. You know, you can buy them direct from Tesla and there's a long waiting list. And they're very, very expensive. So I think the margin on those things is huge. And to this day, Tesla's energy component, the actual battery storage part of their business, is by far the most profitable part of their business. Yeah. So it's not like there isn't money in batteries. It's not like there isn't money in renewables or alternative energy. There is. The challenge is that within the category, no one's actually standing up and kind of saying, well, we've got a great brand that we can build internationally. And, you know, I think the shame here is that Ellie's had so many great deals. But you would kind of expect that a country that is so used to being resilient in the face of load shedding and power challenges, we would innovate products and brands that we could then go and export to an international market. Yeah. This is an opportunity that we really should have harnessed to build a massive brand that you can sell. We've got all the experience. So I think that's the crying shame. And in many ways, this is a listed company, but it's also a company that employed people and paid tax. And we should all be outraged because it's an asset that belonged to South Africa, which has been squandered here.
Yeah, I take your point. And I think the Powerwall is a brilliant example of a battery. I mean, that's as commoditized as you get. Someone who is doing it spectacularly well is 60-60. The check is 60-60 delivery. And I don't mean from the delivery perspective, which is great, but they now sell scooters for kids. They sell, I think they're even doing uniforms and helmets and that sort of thing. They're building a brand so that they almost become, you know, we don't go and search on the internet, we Google. And it's becoming like, I'm going to order groceries. It's going to be, I'm going to 60-60 them. I might use Dash, I might use ASAP, but they're building that brand and they're doing it with the youngsters as well.
Right. And I think that's a great example of a company where the mindset is right. You know, their mindset is all about innovation. Yes, they've got an app and they're really good at marketing and it's a useful utility. But what they're doing is that they're constantly searching for more and more applications of the way that they think. You know, they're hungry to win. And I think more and more as South African businesses, we seem to almost be afraid of competition. And unfortunately, brands that are second just never make it. You have to dominate. You have to aim to be number one in your category. And that's what Checkers are doing well. You know, that's their intention. And they're killing their competition. And that kind of fighting mentality, I think, is something which really should be adopted by more South African businesses if they're serious about being sustainable into the future.
I get your point on that. And I like the fact that you say it's a fighting mindset. They want to dominate. They don't just want to be number one. They want to be number one by 100 miles. They want to be quantifiably the best. And it's almost, and look at a lot of the listed companies, and I kind of get a sense that the marketing mindset is kind of not built into their DNA. It's something they do. Yes, they in magazines or TV or billboards or whatever, but it's kind of not built into the mindset. But it's so important to really get out there.
Exactly. And I think consumers are not stupid. You know, exactly as you say, a lot of these companies say the right things. So they might have nice statements in their annual reports and they put out a TV ad where they'll, you know, talk about the future and that kind of thing. But we can see which companies are actually customer centric. We can see the ones that are innovating new solutions to the challenges that we face. And I think that's exactly it. I think so many companies are just satisfied with the status quo. You know, they like to stay within their comfort zone. I think going outside of that comfort zone for many of them is risky. Because of that, a lot of the good intended projects or innovative ideas get squashed early. But Checkers 66 is an example where they really took the innovation side and they put it into a different business, being ShopRite X. And because of that, it succeeded. Not that there weren't people trying to kill it. I think there absolutely were. But I think that's how you succeed, is that you take it super seriously. You put some of your balance sheet on the line and you explore the future. Because if you don't, it's guaranteed that you're going to go out of business. And I think more and more, if you look at the JSE, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing all the legacy businesses just fail over and over and over again. So you've got to take the risk of innovating. It's not a matter of luxury. It's a matter of survival.
Yeah, I like that. You got to take that risk. And that risk means putting some cash on the line. It absolutely does. It also means some things aren't going to work. I'm sure there's stuff that Checkers is lamenting hasn't worked, but we remember what has worked and what grows in that regard. We'll leave it there. John Cherry, Cherry Flava, always appreciate the insights. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.